Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Thanks, Cards Against Humanity. Folks, what else do you need to know? Go on iTunes, give us 5 stars, leave us a comment. We will say it out loud. Check out the Chicago Podcast Co-op at chicagopodcastcoop.com. We always like to recommend one of our fellow podcasts that are in the co-op. Today, we will recommend one that our guest Rob Grabowski has been on, and that's MBSing. Go check out MBSing. It's great. I think that's everything. Here's today's show. Hello, everyone. My name is Timothy Robert Dunn. Roughly 3 or 4 years ago, I don't care to look it up, I started a podcast with my friend Clayton Margeson, and ever since then, we've been talking about video games. First in his basement, then in what was recently called the Sex Dungeon at the basement of the Public House Theater, and now in the Cards Against Humanity studio. It's a lot of fun. But during that time, we have been doing an ongoing bit where we do a mini-episode called Talking Musicals inside our Talking Games episodes. Well, neither Clayton nor Kellen are here today, so we're doing a full episode of Talking Musicals. Eric, play the Talking Musicals theme right here.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows, and it ain't God's.
Hey everybody, welcome to Talking Musicals. My name's Tim Dunn. I'm your only host today. I guess normally this is where Clayton would talk about, well, he'd do some screaming, and then he'd say, I'm just kidding. And then he would talk about, okay, he would talk about Hamilton, and then Kellen would say, yeah, Hamilton is a really good musical, and I'm very excited about the cast. I just looked at the cast list for the Chicago run, and then Clayton would be like, oh, I haven't seen it, and then they'd exchange a link, and I'd be like trying to wrestle them into like focusing on the podcast. But they're not here today, so I'm going to introduce my guests. because this is an episode of Talking Musicals, I wanted to bring some in from the world of theater. Rob Grabowski, welcome to the show.
I'm from the world of theater.
You are from the world of theater. You are a daywalker. You live in both comedy and theater.
I am. I'm a breeder.
And then from the world of video games, Mike Chuck Bretzlaff. Thank you for coming.
Oh, no problem. I thought you were going to say I was from the world of theater. I'm like,
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm like, I don't know.
The theater of life.
I don't know Mike too well, but he could be from theater.
He could be.
I break into song randomly. You
don't
know.
We all, though?
Yeah.
So, guys, let's start off this episode of Talking Musicals the way we always do, and that's what musicals are we listening to? Mike or Rob, anybody got anything? Or theater, perhaps, that you've seen lately?
Oh, sure. I mean, man, I'll be honest. I'll say this right now. I still have yet to listen to Hamilton.
Is that right?
That is very true.
I'm with you there.
I just haven't. Here's my thing. Anything that gets that popular, there's something in me that's like, no, I'm good.
Mm.
But I want to see it.
Yeah.
When it opens in Chicago soon,
yes.
I will try to somehow see it. I don't know
how. Oh,
but
you're not going to see it for a while if you're not going to take it
already. Well, I'm going to go on a boat. I don't give a shit. I got time.
Do that lottery when you get back.
Oh,
get
yeah,
those,
maybe I will.
Get those nice tickets.
Well, I have a friend who bought some tickets. He's going in November, and I'm trying to sweet talk him into giving me one.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. My odds are kind of 50-50
okay.
Right now.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
Come on, Tim, don't shit on me, all right?
I'm not going to. Okay, I have tickets in October.
Oh,
and
nice.
If my lovely girlfriend,
where
Lisa.
Where are you keeping them? just curious.
Are you picking them at the box office? Do you have them on you now?
I think they're just in the ether of the internet, you guys. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
What's your mom's maiden name?
What I'm saying is that if Lisa leaves me, you and I, boom, Hamilton.
Great,
October.
I love it. What a hot date night that'll be.
Mike, any theater or musical you've been listening to?
Oh, I didn't even answer the question.
I didn't go see the remake, but in preparation for maybe seeing the remake of Pete's Dragon, I rewatched that recently, and it totally holds
that's
up.
Okay. That counts as a musical.
I mean, I watched it, and then like the next day, I found the soundtrack on Spotify, and it was great.
Okay.
I haven't seen it since probably I was a little kid, so it's a couple decades, and it's really good.
Is it a proper musical?
Oh yeah, it's interesting. It's an old Disney musical.
Wow.
So like,
did you not? Have you never seen the original?
Never heard of it.
Really?
Oh, this is the one with the Jurassic World lady in it, right?
What?
The Bond lady from Jurassic World. She's in this. Not she's not
Laura
Bond.
Dern.
No.
Pete's Dragon?
Pete's Dragon. The new one.
Like, oh, the new one. I haven't really followed the new one. Other than like,
oh,
ooh,
gotcha.
I want to see the new
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce
the
Dallas
new
Howard.
Yeah,
no, the
yeah,
new
yeah.
one I don't think is a musical because for whatever reason they keep making these live action movies where they're like, you know what's going to make this better? Let's get rid of all the fun songs that people love to sing.
Yeah.
But
I have been listening to a very fun musical called Something Rotten. It's really entertaining.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like it. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Something Rotten.
I think I've seen it. I'm ready to watch The Producers, though, after
Blazing Saddles. I will watch that tomorrow.
We were recording this right after we heard about Gene Wilder's death.
How sad.
Which is a bummer.
Willy Wonka, fantastic. Yeah. Oh, I want to, it's not like, oh, God, because he is an older man. I think he was like 83 or 84, but it's still just like, oh, what a bummer.
He also had a very private life.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. He had a very private lifestyle.
He did.
The past, like,
he really did.
Few decades.
He didn't want to do anything.
Right.
But I don't blame
him. Which I get.
Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be here.
No, I understand. Me neither. As far as me, I saw, I don't think I talked about this on the show. I saw the Otherworld Theater Company's, Dungeons and Dragons-y RPG show. What am I thinking of,
I saw it as well. The Fight Quest.
Fight Quest.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's
really
a good time.
It.
I saw it too. I hope they bring it back. I had fun.
Yeah.
Did you see it at
Comedy Sports.
I saw it. They did like a shorter run at Public House.
Oh, yeah.
And then transitioned. I didn't see it at Comedy Sports.
Who did you see who was like the I don't know game terms?
Mine was the, you're asking which class, which character class did we follow their story?
Yeah, who'd you follow?
Rob. We followed the ranger who had the wolf.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, how about you?
I saw the assassin, the lady.
Oh,
the
she
purple.
Was very popular from what I'm from what
That's
I understand.
What she said. The guy, our game master?
Yeah.
Not the host, but the one they picked from the audience?
Yeah.
Was a real douchebag.
Yeah.
Happened. God, he was such a little prick. But like he picked her and just, I don't know. This is the worst.
Yeah.
She was fine. Like it was a very entertaining show.
I saw it with, like, there were children in the audience, an adult got picked for the game master, and I kind of just want to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what are we
pick
doing?
The kid. Pick the
this
kid.
This is not for us.
What the hell are you doing?
So, gentlemen, we're a little low on time today. This is an abbreviated episode of Talking Musicals. let's talk about this horrible thing I made you guys watch.
Oh, God.
Okay.
just like it just felt like I was watching something for hours.
So I recently saw an internet friend of mine by the name of Brock Wilbur, a very funny comic out in L.A., wrote an article about this thing called Resident Evil the Stage. It's a live stage adaptation of, I guess, a Resident Evil game.
I guess.
Yeah. there was a YouTube link with English subtitles, and I thought, well, Kellen and Clayton aren't going to be here, and let's do something special for this one-off episode. So I made these guys watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're going to talk.
Thank you.
2 hour and 15-minute YouTube movie with subtitles, Timothy.
And not very good subtitles either.
A lot of typos.
So many typos.
Good Lord. So it's technically called Biohazard the
Biohazard
Stage.
Biohazard the Stage.
That's
which,
the Japanese name.
That's the Japanese name of the Resident Evil franchise.
Oh, my Lord.
Rob, had you ever heard of Resident Evil outside of the movies before?
Yes.
I knew it
as a video game. I've seen, for those who don't know, I don't play many video games.
Not so much a gamer.
I'm a two-daughter and a Looney Tunes Dash Man. that's what I play. You don't like it? I don't give a shit. no, but I'm familiar with video games. I think the first one came out when I was still kind of playing video games on a regular basis, I think. But I'm familiar with the movies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
How this relates to Resident Evil, I have no clue, besides just a few drop-ins of, like, Umbrella, Raccoon City, zombies. Yeah.
Sure. Mike, you've played, like myself, pretty much most of the proper Resident Evil games, right?
It was kind of funny. Like, hey, are you, your email's like, are you a fan? I'm like, I don't know, not really. I mean, I'm playing 0 and 1 and 2 and 3 and
How
Code
many?
Veronica and 4 and 5. But I drew the line at 6.
I don't know if I'd say I'm a fan, though.
How many are there now?
There's
so many.
Coming
it's
out,
this
and
whole
there's so many
oh,
things
yeah?
that are not in that proper
yeah.
like
oh, okay.
sequel. There's so many little off things and
Umbrella Core and all these.
Yeah,
like,
and there was the online, a couple of different online ones.
Yeah.
And
it needs
craziness.
A hard reboot back.
Are the games fun or are they as boring as the stage play?
Ooh, they were thrilling once upon a time, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where the gameplay is interesting. It's kind of shitty, honestly, at least in the old ones, because you're driving a tank, basically.
But which used to lend itself to the horror aspect.
Exactly. So it actually kind of ended up working together, even though some parts were really bad, like the fixed cameras, like deliberately hiding zombies from you
sure.
and whatnot. But And so it was scary. And then they changed it and became more action-oriented, which worked really well in the fourth one. And then the fifth one was co-op, and you're playing it with a friend, and it's just not scary at all because you're just cracking jokes the whole time.
Okay.
Well, and also the zombies start shooting like bazookas at you in five, which is like, this is
zombies
not what I signed up for.
Can't hold things.
No, they shouldn't.
They're zombies.
Be able to use tools and stuff.
Like the whole plot of Day of the Dead is like Bob the zombie learning how to fire.
We're not
a gun.
Focusing on. We're focusing on. This is two separate things.
Zombies can fire.
Let's get into the shit play.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Good Christ.
So let's give them just the briefest of plot outlines.
If you can figure out the plot, good on you.
I'm going to say broad statements. You guys say if you can confirm them or not. All it right. takes place at a university.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
This is great. I like this game. Yeah. This is a better game than some of the most recent Resident Evil.
There's a professor there. She's only been there a few months. Rebecca Chambers from the game.
From, yes. Like, yeah,
that's Mila Jovovich's character, right?
I don't believe it is.
Oh!
No.
Rebecca Chambers was the medic in the first game, and she's in Resident Evil Zero
And she's
well.
In Zero, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing, because in Zero, she has this whole adventure that she doesn't tell anyone about in number one.
Yeah.
Oh. She doesn't go like, oh, this is a lot like this other thing that happened to me. Anyway,
let me tell you about this whole train ride I was on. That was super deadly, but you don't want to hear about it.
Rebecca was undercover, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was possibly a TA
yeah.
who was undercover because she works for the B
the BSAA.
The BSAA.
I don't even remember
Biologicals.
I don't know.
It's an anti-terrorist
yeah, whatever.
Organization.
For terrorism stuff. And then there's the dean of the school.
The rector.
There were like three bad guys in
this
thing.
The dean of the school is not very smart, but yet he's still a dean.
Yeah.
But his son, who he's adopted, who's a robot? I don't know. That was unclear to me.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. Is he a robot?
I don't know. He's something.
The Matthew, weird Matthew kid?
I kept waiting for...
He was just creepy, and they didn't really explain why he was creepy. Like, there's a lot of characters here that are very much like template characters
Absolutely.
From your weird Japanese anime or video game stories.
I think what I picked up is like months now, kids have been disappearing.
Yes.
And then a zombie outbreak happens.
Which, by the way, they're having a ball in class in this first
scene.
Oh, they're
having
not really talking
great
about these
time.
Disappearances.
Not at all. They're talking about love and like, you going to the spring fling?
Right,
cool. And then...
Shane's about Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Do you love me? Cool.
Yeah. All that sort of Japanese school days kind of stuff.
And there's a weird guy who we kind of just see a little bit, but he used to work in St. Louis before an outbreak happened.
Was that the evil detective?
No, that was the other one
Tyler,
with the black hair.
The
same
guy.
Haircut, black
yes.
hair.
Yes, who starts out by saying, like, I'm dead, but I'm not dead. And you're like, oh, is he a zombie?
No, he's Blade.
Which he's not.
He's Blade.
He's Blade.
Oh, why couldn't we watch Blade?
Oh, we should have watched Blade.
Oh, man.
Great film. And then an outbreak happens, and then, like, kind of other stuff happens, and it's audience interactive, but not really. No one was applauding or laughing, so I don't know.
No, that's... I was thinking the exact...
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if there was an audience until the end.
Yeah, if they mic'd the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, because if sometimes if you watch, like, a commencement speech or something like that, they'll say a joke, and then they won't get much. But then you heard the applause at the end of the play.
Yeah. Well, they do, like, that final pose, and I thought, is that the... curtain call? It wasn't.
Yeah.
And apparently they knew that because they didn't applaud, and then they do the actual proper curtain call, which was kind of weird because, like, the rector came out last, and I'm like, he's not even
the
main
character. He's not
the
main guy.
Right. It's Resident Evil.
And the rector was
Chris
the same
Redfield
one. Okay, at the end, who is that who comes out and picks up the disarm, the hand?
I think that's
that was
the rector.
That's the rector?
Yeah. Who, like, gets real weird with the hand.
Yeah.
Like, the
I'm not sure. It's not good, but it's still it's popular.
Which I mean, we're kind of talking about real random stuff. Like girl's hand. There's a thing that happens. Maybe we'll explain that later.
Tim, you're gonna put the link to this, right?
Let's try one more. So they're at a university. I'm already forgetting the undercover agent's name. Rebecca Chambers.
Yeah, Rebecca Chambers.
Undercover. There, she's investigating if there's an outbreak or a use of biological weapons. Turns out there is.
Yep.
Zombies start running around the university.
Yep. Yep.
There's so many things I can already comment on, but we got to keep going. Chris Redfield shows up.
Yep. Yep.
Really a small part for Chris Redfield.
Also a small Chris Redfield. I mean, I get that he gets roided up as the game series him? Go on.
Hmm? He was the protagonist. You got to pick between a woman and a man in the first game. He was the man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he was the leader of the unit.
Of Stars, okay. Oh, Alpha sure. team or whatever.
Yeah. Because
They sent in Bravo originally. I'm like, yes, go send in the B team first.
Right.
So he as the series goes on, he just gets like crazy roided up, but he's still always kind of a big guy, and it's this really tiny dude playing Chris Redfield. And then Jill Valentine, who's your other choice in Resident Evil 1, not in this at all.
No.
I'm like, she's good enough for Marvel vs. Capcom 2, but she can't be in your little stage play. Come on.
Ugh. They wanted to spread out with their characters they used, you know, really develop that Resident Evil multiverse.
I think Redfield was the only.
What about that?
And Rebecca are the only. Yeah, those are the games.
What about that security guard, Posh Brown?
Let's talk about it.
Posh Brown.
Speaking of like Japanese character templates.
Yeah, was that supposed to be?
That was
funny?
Comedic relief.
Yeah, I thought
so. It was supposed to be funny, but it was super creepy.
Posh Brown is the flamboyant security guard at the university who is. Just a worthless security guard,
shit.
I think is what we're meant to believe.
He literally is like, I was a bully as a kid. That's why I became a security guard.
I was hiding in the bathroom because I heard noises.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's like.
Then he prays and like kind of
it's
mocking.
He does this prayer where he rubs his nipples in his crotch.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you wonder if we grew up in Japan, would that be funny?
Absolutely,
to us? Maybe.
Totally.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the audience wasn't laughing, but they didn't make any noise
but
at all.
Were they?
I don't know.
Is
no
theater like?
Sign.
Are you forced to see it in Japan? I don't know. I don't know.
Like I've seen like a bit of not to like derail. I've seen like a bit of like pro wrestling in Japan, and same thing. They will sit there. During like, the most exciting match ever, and maybe towards the end, they'll get excited.
Weird.
Sure.
And show reaction. I think it's just a...
Yeah.
It's like, bringing it back to talking musicals, it's like Sunday matinee crowds, Rob.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do
They
now.
Just sit there and they smile,
the
and you're like, are you laughing? You're really enjoying
keep
this?
Keep them awake. Let's do this.
So, zombies break out. The BSAA shows up. This detective is just an open asshole BSAA agents.
I like his plan. So he's getting bribed by the rector. The rector has his own university, mainly because at some point he gets tons of money.
Yeah.
And so he wants to protect the university because that's like how he's getting some cash.
Yes.
Cash.
And so he thinks he has like that, like if we just don't tell anybody and we just can like kill
no
all the zombies,
no
one's going to know. Because it takes place, I think this is maybe takes place in 2013 or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
which we still have cell phone cameras.
This shit is all over the internet at this point.
There's a lot of.
There's no way this is being covered up by college students. Are you kidding me?
It's like there's a 20 minute intro before even we get like a title of the show. And also,
so much backstory.
Let's talk about the effects of this show. Okay?
Yes!
A lot of screens, a lot of hologram type
projectors.
Things like projectors. That's the word. Projecting on people.
A lot of projectors.
Some of them look okay. But, like, at the end, when the long-haired lady becomes the monster, who I don't
awful.
Know.
Awful. Looks terrible.
It looks terrible. I skipped around a little bit because I just couldn't do it
anymore. I
understand. Thank you. I just couldn't.
The final bosses, one is a tyrant from the Resident Evil series, which is this mutated guy who...
I caught him. He
who's, like, a
in.
Monster. I don't
was
know
Was that a guy
him.
On, like, stilts? Or is
it
that
must
just,
have
like,
been.
Guy that's way taller than everybody else. I mean,
his mouth is, like, covered
like
up for some reason.
Yeah.
That
was...
Really.
And at that point, I feel like this play takes on, basically... the sort of experience of like the Marvel Universe live or like
did you go see that?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
But I met the guy who played Thor in that,
cool.
So I heard a little bit about it. Where it's just like it's basically almost for children, and you're doing the fights, and you're you know at the end of the thing they pull out a rocket launcher, which by the way
is very Resident Evil.
Yes, it was just like
killing the boss that mutates into this giant like the T-virus transforms them not into a zombie but this giant weird. Flesh creature, which was super disappointing that speaking of the screen, so that was on screen. I wanted like tentacles coming out from like
right.
walls.
They seem to have money. They seem to have money.
Lisa and I were, because I made her watch the end of this. Lisa and I were talking about this, like, This looked like it had the money put into it that almost like a low-end Broadway play gets.
Well, I did some Googling.
Sure.
And from the Resident Evil wiki, apparently the Resident Evil gave them the thumbs up. They said, do this. We'll give you some cash for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this was like a Capcom.
Yeah, Capcom.
Interesting. Yeah. I would say this to
say it.
Video game studios. Maybe don't go into live theater.
No. No. I mean, are even video game movies good?
Almost never.
Yeah. Okay, so the only one that we I think I can say as gamers like isn't a proper video game. It's Wreck-It Ralph, but that's based on an actual game.
Can I do a plug?
Sure.
Can I do a plug?
Absolutely.
About this? So speaking of bad video games, Mike Chuck with Chicago Loot Drop and our charity that brings together all the nerds, geeks, and gamers of Chicagoland to do some good. And we've got an event coming up, a fundraiser for University of Chicago Comer Children's Hospital. It's our third time doing Press Start to Drink. It's a double feature brew and view of bad video game movies. In the past, we've done Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter.
Sure.
The last time we did it, it was Scott Pilgrim versus Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Oh, so
great movies, though.
Yeah.
And now we're doing November 5th at Public House Theater. We are doing, this is the first announcement, actually. We are doing Tron versus The Last Starfighter.
Oh. Hey, okay. Very cool.
All right, there's my little thing. I mean, it came up. I got to get it in there.
Get it in.
Rob, you've only got a few minutes left.
I do.
What things do you want to hit on before you go?
Okay, so I already talked about Posh Brown.
You already talked about Posh Brown. You talked about the effects.
We talked about the effects. Some of them are like, it's just like they clearly have money. Like when Posh transforms finally, because like there's some that like you get bit and it's immediately.
Yeah.
But he gets bit on the ankle and it takes an hour for him.
Some are real emotional.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then like they project something on his face to make him look more like creepy and then they shoot him in the dark.
Yeah.
They have these they'll show like maps of the environment, which is like I don't get why we need this in theater. I guess like it's a constant battle between we are trying to please video gamers with this and we are trying to put on a good stage play.
Absolutely. This is not a good stage play.
No, it's really
not. It's way too long. Where the fuck was the intermission? That's what I
want. No, there was an intermission.
Was there when?
Yeah, because Act 2 starts because it kind of fades to black and then there's it's just in black for a while. And then I'm sure they cut it out for the video.
Yeah.
Like an actual intermission. But it comes back up and there's that whole like this is when things have really gone down. There's zombies everywhere and there's that weird zombie dance fight with everybody on stage at once.
Is that the beginning of Act 2?
That's how I took it. That's Act 2. The zombie dance fight
was just long.
This was just
so long. It's a rave scene is what it is. God. That music's just pumping.
And the makeup for the zombies looks shitty.
Yeah.
Like all this money's thrown in these projectors and these giant screens you can put things on. It just looks bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's audience interaction, kind of, where, like, the characters are just out in the audience, like, delivering a few lines and shooting guns
and
shit.
Sure. I don't know how big the theater was, because you could see they'd show them coming into the audience, and you could only see the first, like, section. Like, is there more behind them?
Maybe. I don't know.
There's at least enough behind them to get a camera back there. But
Here's my question. Do you think it'd be better if it was a musical?
Yes.
Always.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, too.
Just something.
Yeah.
Some zombie song. That'd be great, man.
Get the Posh people Brown, that did, like, Avenue Goofy. Q and,
oh
like, really
God,
do
yeah.
this right.
Because, mm-hmm. like, I think they were just taking it way too seriously.
Well, yeah, the plots of, like, it. Honestly, the plot fits for it is a very generic Resident Evil plot.
I could understand. I could, like, see this game in my mind.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Is that the thing is, whether it's the newer model where it's very action-y or the older model, which is horror, presumably it's more like the horror games, but it's not scary at all.
No, it was not at all. It was funny.
There's nothing scary about it at all.
Yeah. Like, it was just like the sound for the zombies just sound like a raptor attacking.
Sure.
And they would just kind of be in the shadows and you shoot them. Like, some of them were like,
those are actually sounds from the game.
Oh, yeah? Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of these actors were clearly gymnasts because they could, like, fall very slowly.
Yeah, that was the more impressive part.
It really was, the physicality.
It's just, man, Tim, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little mad I watched this.
I understand. Out of 5 Posh Browns, how many would you give this?
I give it 2.5 Posh
Browns.
2.5?
Wow, that's more than I thought. That's pretty good.
No.
Before you leave, I mean, I just want to touch on one thing with all of you. The fact that we saw a to-be-continued
Good Lord.
Did I send that email last night? Because I wanted to, like,
remember.
I don't think I did because I was going to be like, to-be-continued? I appreciate the optimism here. I appreciate the optimism.
This just came out last year, right? I think.
I thought this came out like real recently.
No, I just saw an article about it last week. And then,
really?
Like, yeah.
Again,
like, right.
If I'm recalling just from the Wikipedia article I found, I think it premiered last year. Maybe it's just been running since.
I think you should check that right now. We'll
I'll
just sit here and
right
wait.
Now.
It'll be really interesting.
Absolutely.
Audio for everybody at home.
They might have started working.
Okay, actually, speaking of real interesting video, so there's all that stuff they're doing with screens. How about like the text conversations that they would like show up on those
and
screens?
That was in English.
Oh, yeah, right.
I figured that would be in character. I don't know.
It was in English because it's in Australia, I guess. Technically,
yes.
There's universities in Australia. But it's like, you know, how many adaptations of various like Jane Austen pieces have I seen where like they don't actually just hold the letter because there's so much letter writing.
Oh, yeah, right.
They just hold it up to the camera for you to read. You know, like they like kind of read it to somebody or like summarize the letter. They don't just read it word for word. So it's like, this is... I said word for word because I want to say verbatim and went from to word to word.
Hey, Biohazard the Stage is a Japanese play which ties into the Resident Evil franchise. It began performances in October 2015.
Oh.
Being overseen by Capcom. It's the second play relating to the franchise.
Second
play.
Second play.
The first was
second
the,
episode, you guys.
Yeah.
The first was the unrelated Bio Road Year Zero, which was a 2000 musical comedy about the lives of zombies from their own point of view.
We picked the wrong one.
Oh, no.
What is Bio Road?
We
is
gotta
that,
watch it. I don't
oh,
know.
Yeah, we do.
Lord.
special
my
Halloween
Lord.
Episode. Special. I mean, it came out.
What is this?
It came in October.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Perfect
what was the deal
timing.
With Matthew? Was he a robot or just on the side of the virus?
Oh,
no,
unclear. I think Matthew
you know
was being manipulated by his father.
Okay.
He was the orphan, right?
Yeah. He's the one, the rector?
Yeah, the rector was trying to make a virus to make people think or smarter or some shit like
but
that.
Matthew didn't want to be smarter or anything, but he was on the side of the professor who released the virus?
I don't remember. He was being used to research it? Or
I
something.
Don't know. I don't fucking know.
Well, Rob, thank you for joining us.
Oh, of course.
For Talking Musicals.
Happy to be here. I'd love to come back again.
Of course, yeah.
For Bio Road, obviously.
For Bio Road, yeah.
A musical comedy.
We're absolutely, if we can find that, we're making that happen.
Rob, anything you want to plug before you go?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. As always, check out Remake the Podcast where I talk about movies and how to remake them. Follow me on Twitter, Rob Grabo at twitter.com. I don't know how it works.
I think that's right.
And that's, I don't know, come see me at Comedy Sports. I host Kiss Kiss Cabaret. I'm understudying at Victory Gardens again.
Hey.
The show, the play Hand to God, I think it's called. I don't know. Check it out. But
is
I'm
that
in
the
that.
Political one?
No, it's one where a puppet possesses a boy.
Love it.
Apparently it was just off Broadway. It's really funny. Yeah. So check it out. Victory Gardens open soon. Maybe I'll be in it on some weekend if someone gets sick. That's it. Bye.
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 Now it's me leaving.
Okay.
Don't cut this out.
All right, we
don't.
Won't.
Please don't.
This is going to be some great Foley work. It's just like, here's the footsteps.
Sounds like a thunderstorm is starting. Get out.
Oh, man. I actually...
What a piece of shit.
We should actually discuss
piece
the amazing Foley work
shit.
Of this. like, I loved how, like, who's in the back just hitting the buttons as people are throwing punches and kicks?
Yes.
Because there's always a swoosh sound.
Right.
And the thwack sound as, like, so somebody's just back there on this, like, Batman soundboard hitting, like, pow. Like,
that made me wonder if it was, like, if all the... Like, how highly choreographed the action sequences were? Because maybe it's like they just have a track, and the actors have to know, like, where they have to be, almost like a dance.
Because it's real. I think so, because it's really, like, time.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, any time, like, Redfield and Piers, the sniper, the guy that's running around shooting people, zombies, not people.
Is he canonical? I don't remember.
I don't remember Piers.
Yeah, me neither.
There's only a few characters that are, like, very prevalent that I remember. So, like, Chris...
Who was the new
Leon.
Sexy lady?
Hmm?
Who was the new sexy lady on the BSAA squad?
The
one at
Sophie.
The end. Yes, the one at the end that gives the guy his number. And I was like, I didn't even know this was a subplot.
Okay, no, this is the... Yo, you didn't read this. I was following this very closely. So, Piers, they're going to go off into different teams. They're going to split the party.
Yeah.
So, Piers hands Sophie a walkie-talkie.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I didn't know you cared. And that kicks off this thing, so anytime there's a moment between them. Here's the thing, though. Shouldn't they all have some form of communication?
You'd think so.
Right?
For people in a military organization.
As opposed to communicating, like, I've got a crush on you. I want you to stay alive. Here, you have this.
Right.
It was that was really, really weird. And so, yeah, then at the end, she gives the walkie-talkie back along with her number. And it's like, sure, why not? Throw in that, like, Posh Brown dies, and it's supposed to be, like, this sentimental moment, and she's singing some lullaby
Blackbird, right? English. Yes.
And I'm like, I did not care about this character at all. Why is she? Why? I mean, like, okay, somebody died, so for her it's real, but still.
But she's been killing, like, a lot of college students, like, all night long, all just night shooting them in the face.
She had to watch them turn, I guess. I don't know. She didn't have any, she didn't spend, like, 15 minutes with them, though.
And with this annoying security guard, yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if there are other, now that it's just us gamers. Oh, thank
yeah.
God.
Huh.
This is talking games again, by the way. If there were other like nods to the series, there were obviously in the projector moments, like if they would go through a door, it would be old door graphics.
It was. I was like,
yes.
Wow, so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. like Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
PlayStation 1 graphics, but these are the pre-rendered doors opening, so it doesn't look like quite that pixelated like a PlayStation game would, but still.
Yeah.
Why?
They're really going for those old fans of the series, I guess.
Rebecca shows up and does her things. Like, here's some herbs.
Yeah,
and
right.
the spray.
She played the piano like she does in Resident Evil 1. Trying to think what else. You know what I was also talking to my girlfriend about was who is this play for? Now, obviously, maybe it's different in Japan. Maybe Resident Evil is like this bigger, iconic cultural thing. But if it was for here in America, is this big enough? Is Resident Evil big enough here to like put on a Broadway production of this? Or would this be like a smaller black box theater kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, no, I think I would go see, especially, actually, you know, if it was a musical version, I would go see the shit out of this at, like, some small black box theater here, and there's plenty of places here that do, like, nerdy productions.
Yeah.
And I would definitely go see that. Heck,
sure.
I would try out, as I've never been in a play before, but I would love to be an extra just to, like, spend the weekends in Zombie. Why not?
Sounds fun. Have some bachelor parties come to this thing.
Yep.
You know?
Definitely. yeah, I don't know who. I mean, the shots we saw, the audience, it was full.
It really was.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they brought in like seat fillers. I don't know. But maybe everybody's just really curious. Maybe you had to sign an NDA or something. Like, you will not talk about this once you leave.
You will not talk about this. You will not laugh during the show.
Nope.
Well, you better not.
Otherwise,
no matter how much Posh Brown rubs his nipples, you better not laugh.
That was easy enough. That was easy enough.
So how many Posh Browns would you give this play?
Well, I don't know. What does Posh Brown mean? Because I think Posh Brown is like a bad thing.
Well, that's true. It might be a solid five Posh Browns.
Yeah, like it's five Posh Browns. Meaning it's like you're asking how many turds did this kid?
Like a DEFCON 5 kind of a situation. Yeah. Wait, is that bad or is that good?
I don't remember. I haven't seen War Games in forever. Which is all. It's just everybody's only touchstone for what that means. So let's just, if it's bad, I'm gonna go 3.5 Posh Browns.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some enjoyment, just from seeing them try to do this, like, you know, as a play, and there's the Resident Evil.
I'll say this, I've never seen a play with cutscenes before.
I know. the weirdest cutscene, one of the weirdest moments of the play,
yeah,
was the cutscene of, it was part of the prologue. It starts off in the classroom, I think, as we discussed, and then it cuts back to, and they do a quick little recap of Resident Evil 1.
Yes.
And then they cut forward a little bit, and there's this Hummer driving down a highway in the interstate, like, cutscene. This is a cutscene
now. Yes, right.
And then it brings the camera around, and it seems like maybe the actors are doing this live, where like the
like really bad
is still
green screen,
going,
right?
But there's like little green screen holes in the Hummer to like show them acting.
Yeah,
it was Chris and Piers, and it was it's one of the weirder effects.
Yeah.
In all of it.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably give it similar, like 3.5 or 4. If we're talking 5 being the worst, as a video gamer, it was there were moments that I was like, ah, oh, that's fun. Yeah. I don't know if I'd go and see this, but
I give 5 posh browns to the greedy detective who just wants to sweep this all under the rug for his plan.
Bad.
For his plan of we'll kill all the zombies and then we'll pin it on Matthew, who I'm going to hang, by the way.
Oh boy.
And then the next scene, apparently he had discussed this plan with the rector already.
Yeah.
Without, like, and then he dies in the next scene where he's explaining this to the BSAA. So he actually hung Matthew all for naught. Like, because he's thinking, we're just like, Matthew's a murderer. He murdered all these people and then, like, painted them up, I guess, to look like they're dead. Or I have no idea.
And, folks, if we.
Great plan.
If you feel like we haven't done a good job of explaining this plot, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's this whole subplot where a guy had to fake his own death, and that's it alienated him from his family. And Mike's laughing, and I
okay. So he becomes he gets involved in some outbreak in St. Louis or something like that. And he's a cop.
Was that the Minnesota one or the St. Louis one?
I think it was St. somewhere.
Louis.
It
okay.
said I think it said Midwestern North America was the actual location that was given for this outbreak, and he. It ends up working at the BSAA, I think maybe alongside Sophie, maybe.
Yeah,
or
they
Rebecca,
train him or something.
Maybe.
Or, yeah.
And so he ends up having to go undercover. So they fake his death.
Yeah.
And so it's all this police officer died in the line of duty. So his father, thinking his son is dead, wants to bring his son back to life. So he's the professor working for the rector at the university.
Yes.
And so he's like, all I need is like. This and the T virus and my son's body. And then he's like, I haven't been able to find my son's body for 5 years. I don't know what the problem is. And then his son shows up alive and he's like, no, there are twice there in the same scene. And he's
Dad,
like,
I'm
Dad,
alive.
It's me. He's like, no.
Nope.
I'm gonna keep with my plan of trying to resurrect you as soon as I find your body.
Yeah.
And it's all worth it because I've created zombies and everybody's gonna die now.
Yeah.
And,
so I'm like, I guess I'm trying to say, yeah, okay, check this out online if you want to on YouTube. It's tough. It's a tough watch.
Yeah. I'm realizing now that I actually left out one of the larger plot points, Mary, the girl that turns into the
final
boss. But again, her plot makes no sense either, so I don't know if you're missing anything by skipping it.
Really sneaks up on you, the Mary part. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know.
Mike, anything we missed, you think? Let's see here. No, I don't think.
No,
I think we hit everything.
We covered the most important parts, which was the dance fighting that happened throughout, but especially the rave scene coming back to Act Two.
Yeah,
that was pretty great. And then, not a whole lot else. That was
4 out of 5 posh stars. Mike, thank you for joining me on this one and only episode of Talking Musicals. Unless we can find this road trip musical
Bio
comedy.
Road.
Bio Road.
I would be down for that.
Anything else you want to plug?
No, I'll just reiterate. Follow Chicago Loot Drop on Facebook or Twitter at Chicago Loot Drop or facebook.com/Chicago Loot Drop. We'll be like officially announcing with like all sorts of details and stuff about our holiday fundraiser, Press Start to Drink, November 5th at Public House Theater. But for now, just maybe pencil it in. Come out and have some fun.
Sure.
As I like to say, help kids drink beer. There's a comma in the middle of that. The joke works much better in writing.
As for me, follow me on Twitter at Timothy R. Dunn and Medium at Timothy R. Dunn again. I think that's everything. Mike, thank you again.
Thank you.
Eric, take us out with Sutton Foster's Anything Goes.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now
this has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today, and go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.